Thank you, Brother Peter. In our last study, we looked at four examples, and or maybe five, in the parents of Moses as well. And we enjoyed the thoughts there regarding the last three patriarchs in Genesis, where they would bless according to God's purposes. They saw things that were in the future, and they embraced them. And they certainly recognized that the second Adam was the one that God was pointing out in their blessings. And we saw with Moses how he had courage in his display of faith throughout his life. His parents, when he was young, then when he reached an age of maturity and could display his personal faith in the Lord, and how he took a stand for the Lord, and also how he led the people out of Egypt through the Red Sea there and later in life. And we see through his example faith displayed in all stages of his life. Now we're coming to the end of the chapter and into chapter 12, and we're going to see two examples in verse 30 and 31, two unique moments. They're connected. One involving the people of God led by Joshua, although his name is not mentioned. He is a figure of Christ, and he includes us in victory over the world, and the Jericho representing the world, just like Egypt represents the world. And also Rahab, one who was in the world, but it comes out of it, delivered from it by faith. And we see the power of God displayed, that faith can trust in the power of God. And then we come to, we might say, general statements. You know, the entire Old Testament is full of many, many other examples, but the Spirit of God chose these few. And we come to a moment where only names are mentioned, with nothing given about what specifically was the thing or things that they did by faith. So we have to, in our realization of that, we go back to the portions. And so we move from Moses, the law, to the time of Joshua, to the time now of the judges. And the judges are the examples that are given are Gideon and Barak. Notice there's groups of two here, Gideon and Barak, Samson and Jephthah, David and Samuel, and the prophets, the seventh group. And we think of that, and we see that the groups are chronologically in reverse, right? The Barak came before Gideon, and Jephthah came before Samson, and Samuel came before David, but it's given in this order. It's as if the one that went before is the reason the other was also faithful. We see two fearful men in Gideon and Barak. We see two men of strange backgrounds, strange lives, we might say, inconsistencies there, you know. And yet, there were moments in their life when God would raise them up and use them. And so God can do that for us. Maybe we are like Samson, maybe we're like Jephthah, came from the wrong family, bad background, or made bad choices, and our life is a mess. Well, God still can turn that around and use you and me. And then we see David and Samuel, good pedigree. And yet, you know, that wasn't enough. They had to also display faith. One who became a king, one who was a prophet, Samuel. And the prophets, their names aren't even mentioned, you know. Elijah, Elisha, Nathan the prophet during David's day, and others, Isaiah, Jeremiah, the list goes on, Amos. And God used all of these, but nothing is referred to what it was. And then we have from 33 to the end of the chapter, general things. We start with the things that they turned out pretty well. You know, from a human standpoint, faith was displayed and great things were accomplished. But the list goes further and it ends where faith was displayed, but the outcome for that particular person may have been very trying, you know. Nevertheless, they're both displays of faith. And God recognizes that. God recognizes that. And he's pleased with that. And it is his sovereign will, his for his purposes, he permits certain things for certain ones. And we can marvel at that. Peter, in the end of your life, you're going to be taken where you don't want to go. Well, what about John? Well, what about him? If he should remain till I come again, what is that to you? Follow thou me. And so we see the two in Peter and John at the end of John's gospel. But ultimately, we want to reach the Lord Jesus. And that's where we come to at the beginning of verse 12. Seeing we have such a great cloud of witnesses, all these examples, it wasn't complete because the Lord hadn't come yet. And the Lord wouldn't have it complete, the list, until he comes. And now he's here. He's come. And he's provided a better thing for us. So here's another example of the better things in Christ in Hebrews, where we always have him elevated above the others. And of course, the Lord did the supreme act of faith. He's the author and finisher of faith. He's not just the finisher of faith at coming here at the end of the list, but he's the author of it. So we bring him right back. Before Abel, there was the Lord Jesus. And now, after the list here in chapter 11, there's the Lord Jesus. And he had the cross standing before him. And so he was faithful to endure that. So may the Lord help us in our study as we go further. We'll start with the verse 30, where we have the walls of Jericho. I often marvel that Joshua's name isn't mentioned, and I think that's also of the Spirit of God. Joshua is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he hides his identity here, but he, we know, is the one who led the children of Israel to conquer Jericho. And the people are included in the victory. The walls were filled down after they were compassed about 7 days. So the Lord Jesus, who is the leader, he brings us with him. We enjoy the fruits of his victory over the world. He has said, I have overcome the world. And we know that to be an overcomer is that we overcome the world.